Yeah.
So I think it's going to have a little
bit. Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning to Jenkins Church. We're glad you're here. As people continue to come in for our worship service this morning, we're going to take a look at the bulletin for announcements. Please be sure and read the announcements that are in the bulletin. Are there announcements from the congregation? Karen? I can see the excitement on her face as I stand up here. Are there other announcements?
I know she needs silent auction things.
Was anybody at the meeting last week?
Mostly about signage.
Yeah, because we signed the pad if you wanted to put a sign in your yard. I know that.
It was about signage and it was about mail out, deciding where to send out cards.
Okay.
So it was about advertising. But, I know she needs silent auction items
instead. Okay. Are there other announcements? If not, we'll take a moment for silence as we prepare our hearts to worship as we light the candles this morning. We begin our worship this morning with our call to worship. If you could stand, please. It is responsive in our bulletin. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Please remain standing as we turn in our hymnals to page 512 as we sing verses 1 and 2. And now our Apostles' Creed, which is page 716, or on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the
You may be seated. We now come to the time in our service where we raise up those for prayer request, or if we have praise request. Do we have those that we want to lift up this time? I know that Peggy is not here this morning. I was told that her father has pneumonia. His name?
He's on the prayer list.
Bill Bradley is his name.
She says, I think he's just getting tired too, but he is suffering from pneumonia.
She's coming.
So we need to lift him. Deborah?
Ron Hardy's father, Cindy told me that he had had some sort of heart surgery about 3 weeks ago, but he is still in the hospital. Things
were
not looking as good as they had hoped.
Rod's
been down there.
Yeah, he's in Alabama.
So I'm not sure exactly what we need to remember that family.
Elizabeth?
One of my coworkers, her name's Chris Grange, had a stroke last Sunday, 51. They caught the brother was there with her, so they caught it very early, but just having some setbacks. So.
Karen? Who's next? Cody? Casey.
Casey, sorry.
Does that happen often?
Always. Always. But no, David Helton's father, Gene Helton, is in the hospital. I don't really know the whole status of that. I'll just pray. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Casey. Michael?
Keep us up in your prayers as we leave in 2 weeks for Nicaragua.
Okay. Jules?
Praise. Last week, Bradley suffered a fever seizure, but everything is good now.
Normal is good. Isn't it? Normal is good, isn't it? Yes.
Linda Buzz is posted on Facebook that Marsha Park. Housewife. What's her last name? I forget what her married name is. But some of us are here when Jim and Dot Pope were here, very active in church, and Marsha and her brother Jay, they have the Bowling Lanes, the Tusculum, and the Franklin and the Cumberland Lanes. And Marsha passed away. Apparently cancer. And she's my age. The visitations today at
Bill Pickering
and the funeral tomorrow.
Have I missed anyone? Any other prayer or praise request? Well, I won't.
Hope you're a bad priest. Yeah. I don't think we've been disappointed in some of you. I think the odds are in our favor. Are there others? Yes, sir. Mr. Taylor?
Angie Steele from Tustin Church is not doing well, last I heard.
Okay. Angie Steele?
Angie Steele, I suggest, for cancer.
Okay.
Anybody mentioned son, his grandson Gavin, having heart surgery?
No.
I'm not sure what it's
scheduled.
March the 2nd.
March the 2nd.
Unless they're, you know, if he has a bad cold or any kind of fever or anything, they won't do it. But March the 2nd is tentative date for that heart surgery for Gavin.
Okay.
I know sometimes they're kind of private about things, but I did ask her about him this morning. And we're doing it deliberately.
Well, I don't think she would have a problem with us putting him on the table.
I don't think so.
Are there others?
Lou Green.
Oh, yeah. We mentioned that last week. Yeah, I think he's diagnosed with cancer.
He had surgery last week.
And he had surgery, but they didn't.
I don't think, the last we heard it was not good, right? Is it terminal?
You said they removed a cancerous kidney. They were trying to get the rest.
He was
of
in
cancer.
Surgery at the time when I got the update, and I don't know what, but he did have surgery this week.
He did have surgery, okay. Maybe it's better than.
They had three teams in, one for the kidney, one for the cancer, and one
to repair a hernia.
For the hernia, yeah.
Maybe it's better than the last week, right? Yeah.
Hopefully. But he cannot have chemo or radiation.
Right.
Could you remember the Proctor family? Joe was here for Sunday school, but her mother-in-law passed away Thursday. And the funeral is Tuesday up in Nashman at Spring Hill.
Okay. And I also like to add, let's just continue to keep praying for our church as a whole, Jenkins Church. Continue to keep praying for Jenkins Church. If not, Mr. Taylor, I'll turn it over to you.
On our prayer list, we have so many of these names that have been called out this morning and some called out that are not on the prayer list that we all need to remember and earnestly and fervently bring to God in prayer. There is power in prayer. The Lord God of heaven intervenes. He does not turn a deaf ear to our prayers. And so the time that we take on Sunday mornings mentioning these names, there's a reason behind it. And we're all family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us continue in our daily walk to remember these in our prayers. Would you bow with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, I'm just thinking for a few moments about this ritual we have every Sunday in reciting the Apostles' Creed, and how it is so full of the doctrines taught in Scripture that we believe. Father, we think of those words once again. I believe in God the Father Almighty, who is the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who is our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified and dead and buried, and who descended into Hades. And the third day, Father, as we make our way into this Lent season and as we began to anticipate that resurrection Sunday, Father, we believe that He rose again from the dead, that He ascended into heaven, that He right this moment sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, that He shall come one day to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Christian Church. We believe, Father, in the Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church that meets here from Sunday to Sunday. We believe in the communion of the saints and the forgiveness of sins. and the resurrection of the body. And Father, we look forward with great anticipation to life everlasting. Father, we pray for those this morning that we have mentioned by name who are sick and in need of your healing touch. You know their needs, Father, and we earnestly ask that you would intervene in their lives and give peace and bring healing and make them very sensitive to how near you are. Father, I pray for those who have been mentioned by name, the Proctor family and the Stevens family, the Clyde Stevens family in Franklin, who have recently lost and buried their loved ones. There was another family mentioned a moment ago, Father, and I just pray you would comfort their hearts and console their spirits. Father, we pray as Miss Teresa encouraged us for the Jenkins Church here. We are in such a particular chapter in the life of this church now, and for these months while we're searching for the new pastor, I pray, Father, for this pulpit committee that you again would give them direction and guidance and wisdom. We pray for the upcoming fish fry. There is so much good that will come from that occasion, and I pray your blessing upon it as we begin to make plans. We pray for our worship service this morning, Father, that all that we say and do, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, and especially the scriptures that we read would encourage us and edify us, but most of all would honor and glorify your name. Father, we pray the prayer that your Son, our Savior, our Lord, has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Last week we celebrated Valentine's Day with gifts and words and maybe just cards of love. And I was thinking as I looked at the song that's up next that we expressed our relationships to one another, but nobody loves us the way Jesus does. I'd like to encourage you, like Julie did last week, to think about the words to this song as we sing, "The Way That He Loves." I'm sorry? Yes, that would be great. It's on your insert, some of you, in your bulletin. Thank you.
Our call to repentance comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take care that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Our prayer, confession, and silence. In Jesus' name, amen. A word of assurance comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Could we have our children come down now for time with Miss Mary Jo?
Right. for direction in our country right this very minute, that we will be led according to this word. Thank you. Ms. Melvin?
Well, my letters have the same song.
There you go.
Direction, V-I-B-L-E. Right?
No, that's not
speaking.
All right.
Lord, we ask you to bless our country. We ask you to bless all the boys and girls everywhere, all over the world. Amen.
We come to the time of our service where we give our thanks by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our word of blessing today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Would our ushers come forward at this time, please?
Heavenly Father, as we're gathered here this morning in love and appreciation of each other, the love just overflows here at Jenkins as we're gathered to praise you for all that you've done for us. Father God, just the air that we breathe as we come up in the morning and put our feet on the floor, we just thank you for that. You've given us so much. Now we pray, Father, that each of us would give back just that small portion to you so that we may have a richer and better kingdom of love. In Jesus' name.
If you would, please turn in your hymnals to number 326. It's a song entitled Softly and Tenderly, and it was written by Will Thompson. Will Thompson was born in 1847 in Pennsylvania, but his family moved to East Liverpool, Ohio, near the Pennsylvania border while he was still quite young. His father was a successful merchant and also served in the Ohio legislature. Thompson showed an early interest in music and had written several songs before he finished high school. Thompson was a Christian, and while attending a Dwight L. Moody evangelistic meeting, he decided to devote himself to writing and promoting Christian music. He wrote Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling in 1880. It quickly became a popular hymn, and it was used as a hymn of invitation in evangelistic meetings and was soon incorporated into church hymnals. Will Thompson wrote Jesus is All the World to Me in 1904, and it too became quite popular. Dwight L. Moody, the most famous evangelist of his day, used Softly and Tenderly as an invitation hymn in his meetings. Thompson visited Moody as the latter was dying on his deathbed, and Moody told Will Thompson, he said, and I quote, "Will, I would rather have written Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, than anything I have been able to do in my life." Quite a tribute from someone as accomplished as Dwight Moody. Even though he became quite rich, Thompson continued to live a life of service. He was aware of the fact that small town people had very little exposure to good music, so he loaded a piano on a horse-drawn wagon and went through small Ohio towns giving concerts of his music. My friends, as we sing this beautiful song, I want you to think of how many people over the years have responded to the invitation during the singing of this 135-year-old hymn. So get your hymnals and let's sing together verse 1 and 4 of this beautiful hymn, Softly and Tenderly. I was just sitting there thinking as we were singing that beautiful hymn, if perhaps the prodigal son, when he was in that pig pen, starving to death, and all he had to eat was what they fed the pigs with, perhaps heard some sentiment similar to the words that we just sang. Calling, O sinner, come home. If you have your Bible, I will be reading from two texts this morning. I begin in Genesis 18, verse 9 through 14. And I think before I read that passage, I said begin, I will read from Hebrews 11. You'll just listen to this one. We'll read together 9 through 14. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Genesis 18, you follow with me, beginning in verse 9. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Would you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, I am so thankful for the Word of God. I'm grateful for the inspired, God-breathed scriptures that we have to read and guide our lives. Just as was spoken to the children this morning, Mary Jo reminded us that all presidents need to rule and govern by the principles of God's Word. And I pray, Father, as we study from your scriptures today, that our spirits will be strengthened and edified. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this gathering today. And we're here to worship you, Father, the only true and living God. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. What is faith? Let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big is your faith in God? Now, faith in Hebrews is defined as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then verse 6 in Hebrews 11 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Many of us this morning have faith. For some of us, it's more like a mustard seed. Do you remember the conversation Jesus had with the boy's father? It's in Mark 9. Jesus said to the father of this boy, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried and said, I do believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. How do we increase our faith? Well, there are a number of factors, I think, that go into the answer to that question. The first one that comes to my mind is Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But personally, as I think about that question, how do we increase our faith? For me in my life, believing in the resurrected Christ is a big factor. Early Sunday morning following the Friday crucifixion, the women came to the tomb and they discovered the stone had been rolled away. And they looked inside the tomb and his body was nowhere to be found. And as they stepped out of the tomb, there was an angel sitting upon the stone. And the angel said, "Why look you for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Now, how does this increase my faith? I believe that Jesus has been victorious over death. I believe that he has been victorious over the grave. That you and I this morning serve a living Savior. And I believe that the living Lord gives us direction and guidance and reason for living. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love and heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know he lives. Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How do we increase our faith? In your heart of hearts, let me ask you a question. How do you view God? Is he somebody you've just heard about and read about, but you haven't experienced him? Do you see God in your mind as omniscient, as omnipotent, as omnipresent, as omnibenevolent? Folks, can you imagine living in a world without the daily mercies of God? Without his benevolence and his goodness, for me that would be the very definition of hell. This morning I want to talk about God's greatness. Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Jeremiah 32 verse 17, there in your handout, it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Nothing, Jeremiah the prophet said, nothing is too hard for you. And then in verse 27 of the same chapter, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" And then Jesus in Matthew 9 said, he looked at him and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And in Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." If I were to ask you the question this morning, how big is your God? Perhaps that's a bad question because you don't determine how big God is. A better question might be, how much do you worry? How fearful are you? How much and how often do you look to something or someone in this world for peace and security instead of trusting in God for it? Jesus, Moses, and this elderly man were playing golf one day. And Moses teed off first. He took his driver and he hit the ball and it hooked down into this lake on the left. And Moses walked down to the lake and he took his staff and he divided the water and he went down and hit the ball on the green and one putted for a score of three. Just an unusual birdie that he made. Well, Jesus went next. He took his driver and hit the ball, and it too hooked down into the same lake. And Jesus made his way down to the water. He walked across the water to where his ball was, and he took a pitching wedge and hit it on the green, and one putted for birdie. Finally, the elderly man teed off, and he too hooked his ball into that same lake. And as the ball was sinking, a fish swallowed the ball, and as the fish was swimming across the lake, this eagle swept down and clutched the fish in its claws and flew away. And as the bird flew across the golf course with the fish in its clutches, the fish dropped the ball out of its mouth onto the putting green. The ball rolled up to the cup, fell into the hole for a hole in one. At which time Moses turned to Jesus and said, "Remind me to never play golf with your father again." Now, I tell you this ridiculous story to underscore how big our God is. My friends, we serve a miraculous God, and this book is full of His miracles. Amen. God is more than capable of intervening in the circumstances of our life and working things together for good for those who love the Lord. How big is your God? How deep is your faith in this God? Our lesson this morning is entitled, "Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord?" In Exodus chapter 14, I begin reading in verse 5. If you want to turn in your Bibles, please let me encourage Exodus 14 and verse 5. We must take a look at how you and I relate to this message. How do you personally identify with the question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Let me assure you, in the year 2016, circumstances will arise in your life and in my life that will test your faith. Somehow this question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" must be woven into the fabric of your soul. The question must become an intricate part of your faith. And if it does, it will lead to having greater trust in the Lord. Your hope will be placed more and more in His deliverance and less in your own strength. And this in turn will lead to greater peace and less anxiety in your life. The Israelites leave Egyptian bondage after 400 years under Moses' direction. And when the king in verse 5 of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about the Israelites leaving. And they said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we've lost their services." So he and his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. Can you imagine what an army Pharaoh led as he pursued these Israelites? Verse 8, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them at the camp near the sea." Verse 10, "As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, they looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them." Can you imagine the fear in their hearts? Their heart was beating so loudly they could hear it. The person next to them could hear it. They were terrified. They cried out to the Lord, and in verse 11, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to bring us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And in verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then in verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall on their left. The Egyptians pursued the Israelites, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. And the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea were covered by the water. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. My friends, is anything too hard for the Lord? If God can divide the Red Sea and save the Israelites, can he not deliver you as well in the 21st century? Listen again, I'm in Matthew 8 in the New Testament. Matthew 8, where Jesus rebukes the winds and the waves. The disciples in verse 25 went and woke Jesus. They were out on the middle of this lake. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. There's a storm approaching. And the disciples woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Now that tells you how bad the storm was. And Jesus replied, O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then Jesus got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, folks, when I see Jesus calm the wind and the waves, I must ask the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to listen to Moses as I wind down this morning, as we conclude these thoughts. In Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, now you know he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. Moses was spoiled rotten. I suppose he had access to all of the riches of Pharaoh. But when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, my friends, that's worth $1 million, what I've shared with you today. If you can apply to your life what Moses describes in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27, you will be a rich person. There is nothing too big for God. Even our sin is not too big for God. But it did cost greatly. As you and I are entering the Lent season and approaching the resurrection morning, may we take time in our personal lives to reflect on what it did cost our God. Jesus came to this earth. He suffered as we suffer, yet without sin. He suffered separation from His Father because He bore our sins on the cross. And He died a very cruel death. The cost was great, but God is bigger than our sins. Would you bow with me? Oh, Father in heaven, I know that You are well and alive today. I know that You are the creator of this universe. And I know that our future is in Your hands. And yet, Father, it is so easy for us to get distracted and overwhelmed. We see how big our problems are. We see in our hearts, Father, how small You seem to be, how distant. But, Father, increase our faith. Help us, like the Old Testament characters and New Testament characters, to see the living God, the resurrected Christ, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Help us to know the spiritual realities that this world and the future of this world is not in our hands, but it's in Your hands. May we see beyond this veil, Father. May we see, have spiritual vision. Our human eye cannot see beyond the veil. We walk by faith, Lord, not by sight. But help us to never lose sight of eternity. And may it affect our relationships here on earth. May it affect the decisions that we make. May we live with an eternal view of heaven. And may, Father, our life honor and glorify You. For we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation today is number 213 in your hymnals. Would you please turn and sing together this beautiful hymn, Because He Lives. Shall we stand?
J-O-Y. The J stands for Jesus, The O stands for others, and the Y stands for yourself. I hope you have a lot of joy this coming week. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.